Here in 2 Corinthians 13, we come to the end of this difficult correspondence, really, between Paul and the Corinthians. And it was difficult because he loved them, and they were not very spiritual people. They were arguing back with him, accusing him of this, that, and the other, and he felt he had to reply, and then on the other hand, he felt that he had enough qualification in other areas that he didn't need to reply to all their endless comments. It was typical of a situation where you put out one fire and then immediately they start another one. And I'm sure we have all, in essence, been in that situation. And he wraps it up here, really, with an appeal to the Spirit and to the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, I understand that term to really mean that if the Spirit of Christ is in you and it's in me, then there will naturally be a unity between us. And that unity will not be predicated upon answering specific questions acceptably to one party, etc. And so he ends up talking in verse 14, right at the end, about may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And he's saying that I have the Spirit of Christ, and if you have got the Spirit of Christ, then we are together. And I think that is worth bearing in mind, because it's very easy to assume that somehow unity is upon the basis of maybe a common statement of faith or whatever, a common doctrinal theological understanding. But people who have the same understandings of things can sit in the same church hall for decades and actually not experience much fellowship with each other. And people who may differ on some points of interpretation, yet both have the Spirit of Christ, are brought together. And I do remember Paul Tournier, doctrine divides, but experience unites. And I think that the experience is, I would go further and say, the experience of the Spirit, of being spiritually minded, of having the Spirit of Christ. It is that which binds together. And so he says in verse 3, you seek proof that Christ speaks in me, who toward you is not weak, but is powerful in you. Verse 4, he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives through the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God toward you. So he's earlier talked about his own weakness in the flesh, and he's saying that that's on account of being co-crucified with Jesus. And so we are weak in him. He there, in all his weakness, in all his fragility, in all his frailty, covered in blood and spittle, unable to defend himself as he hung naked upon a cross, he was crucified through or in weakness. And we also are weak in him, because we are co-crucified with him. And so that is the extent of identity between him and us. And our weaknesses find that they are eventually a bridge between him there 2,000 years ago and us here today. And he's arguing that we shall live with him. If we die with him, we shall live with him. This is the symbology of baptism. It's the symbology of many things. And we shall live with him through the power of God toward or in you. And yet, what he's saying then is that Jesus was resurrected, as he says, through the power of God. He lives through the power of God, through the Spirit of God. He was justified in the Spirit. He was raised by the Spirit, as Paul says in Romans. And we also are going to live with him through that same power of God, which he says is in me, and it is also toward you. It's in you. Romans 8:11 makes this more specific. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall, that is then at the last day, give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you, that is now. So if we have the Spirit of Christ in us now, it is according to that same Spirit that we shall be resurrected and glorified in the last day. That is why it is so critically important to have his Spirit in us now, because that is the basis upon which we shall be resurrected and glorified. And he's saying that this same spirit or power of God was just as much available to the Corinthians as it was to him. That spirit, that power is great, he says, toward or within you. And yet Judaism, as Jesus says in Matthew 22:29, meant that they did not know the power of God. Just being caught up with legalism was a denial of knowing the power of God working within them. And the Corinthians were definitely under the influence of this Judaizing legalistic mentality. So verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So he's saying you should examine yourselves, test yourselves as to whether you are in Christ, rather than putting Paul to the test, or putting Christ to the test. And this is very much the spirit of 1 Corinthians 11, when he talks about the breaking of bread. Let a man examine himself. And the same here. You should be able, he's saying, to know that Jesus is in you. And by that he means the Spirit of Christ, the power of God within you. That's what he means by saying, do you not know that Jesus is in you? In what sense is Jesus in us? Well, he is in us through his Spirit dwelling in us. And he's saying, do you not know this? Because if you don't, if you fail the test, then you obviously haven't received his Spirit. We have failed if we don't know that, the Good News Bible says. So then, we need to examine ourselves. Are we spiritually minded? Do we have the Spirit of Christ? Because if it is in you, and if it is in me, and I promise you it is in me, as Paul is saying, I promise you it is in me, the Spirit of Christ is in me and works in me and through me, then we have a basis for unity. But the problem was that they didn't seem to be able to know that, even about themselves. And this is what is so tragic. It really is so tragic that communities and individuals can be very gung-ho about theology, about purity of biblical interpretation, and yet totally lack any idea of the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit within them. Indeed, if you mention that, you are looked at askance. If you say to a lot of the folks that I grew up with in my background, you know, are you born again? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Oh no, we're not evangelicals. We're not into all that stuff. Oh, all right, whatever terminology you're happy with, have you actually got Jesus within you? Doesn't mean are you perfect. That's not the point. He indwells God through Jesus and through His Spirit indwells all sorts of imperfect people. Paul himself was not exactly perfect. So the question is not, you know, are you perfect? Are you pious? Are you, you know, so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good kind of thing? No, that's not the question. The question is, do you really know Jesus? In the sense of, do you have a relationship with him? This is of the essence. And we should be able to pass that test. And if we don't, he's saying this is very, very serious. You have failed. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says in the Good News Bible. And so we should be able to say, if Jesus comes today, or if I die right now, I, by his grace, will be in his kingdom, because the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead is in me, and I believe by his grace, though I should not be saved, but I believe by his grace I will be, that I also shall be raised up by him at the last day. Because that Spirit which he has given us is the continuity between life now and the eternal life. And that is why Jesus can say, accept life from me. I can give you now, right now, the eternal life. It doesn't mean you shall not die. It doesn't mean you have an immortal soul or something like that, no. What it means is that if you live according to the Spirit, you are living the kind of life which you will live eternally. And Romans 8 and here in 2 Corinthians 13, it just puts it another way, that same Spirit or power of God that was in Jesus and that raised him from the dead can be in us now. And that is the basis upon which we shall be resurrected and glorified at the last day, just after the pattern of the Lord Jesus. And so, don't be frightened of this idea of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ. it's not touchy-feely. It's not a question of talking about miraculous gifts of the Spirit. They are long gone, and that is not for our age, raising the dead and speaking in tongues and all this kind of stuff. No, nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with being touchy-feely. It's to do with simply knowing that He is in me. He abides in me, or dwells in me, and I abide in Him. And as he says here to the Corinthians, you should be able to know that. And if you do know that about yourself, and other people claim strongly to have that same experience, then as he concludes, then we experience what he calls in verse 14, the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.